Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. I want you to start by stepping into a near-future scenario for personalized medicine. Forget the bulky electronics and, you know, the surgical battery swaps. Imagine a medical monitor inside your body that is so small and simple. It's essentially just a tiny piece of metal foil and a colony of, well, specially tailored bacteria.
And that sounds like pure science fiction, right? Because it completely overturns a foundational engineering problem. For decades, we've wrestled with how to power and miniaturize these complex circuits while making sure they can sense tiny biological changes and then, you know, transmit that data wirelessly.
Right.
It's just an enormous hurdle when you think about all the signal interference from human tissue.
The beauty of this concept is that the sensor isn't a chip, it's a cell. And it isn't monitoring simple things like temperature or pressure. It's looking for those tiny molecular clue-specific disease biomarkers that tell you a problem is developing long before a patient even feels the first symptom.
So you have the gold standard of sensing technology life itself. But the question is still there. How do you take the highly complex molecular-level data from a single cell and, you know, bridge it to the simple, robust world of wireless communication?
And that's what we're getting into.
It is. This deep dive shows us how synthetic biology has found a genius way to create an electrically passive molecule-sensing implant. The bacteria sense the molecule, and the metal antenna just relays the message.
Today, we celebrate the innovative work of researchers from Bogazici University, the Aziz Sankar Research Center, Symbiotic Biotechnology, and the UNAM Institute of Materials Science and Engineering, who have collectively advanced our understanding of this new frontier of biohybrid wireless sensing.
To really get why this is so significant, you have to look at the driving force.
The healthcare demand.
Exactly, the global healthcare crisis. I mean, the demand for continuous, proactive health monitoring is just skyrocketing, mainly driven by the massive growth in the elderly population.
Well, our current models just can't keep up.
They simply won't scale. The whole system relies on episodic, reactive care, and that's not sustainable.
That puts immense pressure on technology to, well, change the game. And when we look at current implantable devices, things like capsule endoscopies, brain interfaces, even those sophisticated intravascular pressure sensors, they're all measuring physical macro-level events.
Exactly. Even the really advanced implants that use electromagnetic waves, like some experimental glucose sensors, are indirect.
What do you mean by indirect?
Well, they don't detect the glucose molecule itself. They detect a secondary physical effect, maybe a change in the tissue's dielectric constant caused by the glucose.
So they're approximations.
They are approximations based on physical changes in the environment. So that core challenge is still there. How do we get real-time in vivo detection of specific molecular-level biomarkers, the things that truly flag early-stage disease?
And electronics and optics, they just struggle with that kind of specificity.
They really do. But biological systems, I mean the cells, they are already perfectly evolved sensors. They use receptors and pathways to detect and respond to literally thousands of different molecules at the same time.
And this is where synthetic biology comes in, as the ultimate reprogramming tool.
Right. You can engineer living cells, in this case bacteria, to function as these custom logic-driven sensors that only react when they find a specific molecule. The cell is the logic gate.
So the cell gets the input, the biomarker. Then what's the output?
The output is a cellular response. It could be a chemical signal, a protein, or maybe an electrical flux. And that brings us right back to the electrical engineering headache.
Getting that data out wirelessly.
Getting it out, the body strongly attenuates the small electromagnetic wavelengths that are typical of cellular activity. We need much larger wavelengths, on the order of centimeters, to reliably get through human tissue.
So the real innovation isn't just the biological sensor itself, but aligning that biological output with a reliable centimeter-scale electromagnetic signal. That's the trick.
That alignment is exactly what the researchers achieve with something they call the AntennaLive concept.
AntennaLive. Okay, so what does that actually mean? How does it work?
Well, this system completely sidesteps the need for internal power or batteries or any complex circuits. It's using biology to change physics.
Okay, let's unpack that mechanism, because this is where that abiotic bridge really takes shape. So this biohybrid implant, what is it actually made of?
It's deceptively simple. It's just a passive implant antenna, which is a tiny piece of 25 micrometer thick magnesium foil.
Magnesium, because it's biocompatible and biodegradable.
Right, and that foil is paired with a colony of genetically modified Escherichia coli.
Wait, so the metal antenna is meant to fail?
Yeah.
And the bacteria control when it fails?
That's precisely right. The magnesium antenna is designed so that its resonant frequency, the frequency where it reflects a signal most efficiently, changes drastically as it degrades.
How drastic?
When it's intact, the resonant frequency is around 1.16 gigahertz. Once it corrodes and breaks into pieces, that frequency shifts way up to 1.91 gigahertz.
And that shift is the wireless signal?
That shift is the signal, a simple binary on-off message.
So the lifespan of the diagnostic is tied directly to how fast the magnesium breaks down. How do they get a common bacteria like E. coli to accelerate that on demand?
This is the synthetic biology masterstroke. They engineered the E. coli BL21 cells to facilitate something called extracellular electron transfer, or ET.
Okay, that sounds pretty specific.
It is. It's the process where cells can exchange electrons directly with solid materials outside of their membrane.
Is that something E. coli normally does?
Not natively, not to this degree. The researchers essentially gave E. coli the toolkit by borrowing the cytochrome C maturation complex genes, the CCMA, through H genes.
Borrowing them from where?
They sourced them from Shimonella onidensis, which is a type of electroactive bacteria. It's famous for its ability to, breathe on or exchange electrons with materials like rust and metal.
Ah, so they've turned the E. coli into a kind of biological battery that short-circuits the metal. The presence of this complex enhances the electron flow, and that electrochemical interaction just accelerates the corrosion, the eating of the magnesium antenna.
Exactly. And in the full version, they would link the expression of those genes to a specific molecular switch, the biomarker they're looking for.
So if the biomarker is there, the genes turn on, the bacteria start eating the antenna faster, the antenna breaks, and the signal shifts.
That's the whole chain of events.
And the outside world detects this physical failure using the wireless link.
Correct. They use an external two-port cross-slot on-body reader antenna. It operates in the microwave range, and it monitors the implant using backscatter communication.
So it sends a signal in and just measures the reflection?
That's all it does. It's an electrically passive system because the antenna itself just reflects the signal. It never needs power.
They validated this using a fantastic experimental setup. They didn't just use water to simulate the human body.
No, they created a liquid muscle-mimicking phantom. It's a sort of cocktail of deionized water, glycerol, and salt. But they made it transparent.
And that transparency was key. It let them cross-validate the wireless data with what they could actually see.
Exactly. The tiny biohybrid implant was submerged 25 millimeters deep within this phantom, inside a little 3D printed cup with media to keep the bacteria happy.
And this is where the engineering data meets the biological reality. They monitored the degradation with a vector network analyzer, a VNA, and a camera at the same time.
Right, and for anyone not familiar, you can think of the VNA as a kind of specialized radar. It measures how the environment is changing the antenna's properties. Specifically, they track the transmission coefficient, which is just a measure of how much energy gets coupled between the external reader and the implanted antenna.
And when the antenna degrades, that coupling changes.
It changes dramatically and the value shifts.
Okay, let's talk about the key findings, because the difference between the engineered and the non-engineered cells is staggering.
It really is. It highlights the power of synthetic biology here. The engineered E. coli, the ones with the active metal corroding gene circuits, they degraded the magnesium foil strips significantly and measurably faster.
And to put that in wireless communication terms, at that 25 millimeter implant depth, the antenna exposed to the engineered E. coli degraded in about 8 hours.
And you contrast that with the non-engineered cells.
Which took how long?
About 14 hours. That 6 hour difference is the entire communication channel. The speed of the bacteria becomes the speed of information transfer.
But the really critical finding, the smoking gun, was the moment of signal confirmation.
Yes. The visual data from the camera showed the implant antenna. You could literally see it transitioning from a connected ring to a segmented, broken structure.
And at that exact moment?
At that exact moment, the data they collected wirelessly from the VNA showed a perfectly aligned, just a dramatic and instantaneous change in the transmission coefficient.
Wow. So the wireless signal matched the visual proof perfectly?
Perfectly. It proves they did it. They successfully converted this complex, subtle biological activity.
The bacteria eating the metal.
Right, that. They converted that into a simple, unambiguous, and most importantly, a reliable electromagnetic signal you can detect outside the body. They built the functional biotic-abiotic bridge.
And they showed real potential for deeper placements, too. I mean, the communication was proven at 25 millimeters, but they tested the signal depth with a non-biodegradable antenna.
And they found that the resonance was still clearly detectable up to a depth of 55 millimeters.
That opens the door for much deeper internal monitoring.
It really does. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, the implication is massive. This is the first demonstration of a viable wireless link connecting a cell-based passive sensor inside a body-mimicking environment to an external receiver.
It validates the entire platform. You're tapping into the molecular sensing mastery of engineered cells, and all you need is a simple metallic reflector. No batteries, no power circuits.
Think about the applications. You can engineer cells to detect practically anything, a specific inflammatory cytokine, a cancer-related microRNA, a particular toxin. This system could be deployed for continuous, real-time monitoring of disease progression or how a patient is responding to a new drug.
But wait. If the entire antenna degrades to send the message, doesn't that make the system a one-shot diagnostic? How does that compare to, say, a continuous electronic sensor that might last for years?
That's an excellent point, and it highlights a fundamental difference. For some things, you absolutely need continuous long-term monitoring, but for high-stakes, specific events.
Like what?
Like tracking if a tumor has started to recur after surgery, or checking if a high dose of chemotherapy has effectively cleared a specific biomarker threshold. For that, a single unambiguous and power-free confirmation is incredibly valuable. It's a cheap, disposable, self-reporting sensor.
That makes a lot of sense. It shifts the diagnostic from continuous streaming to event-triggered reporting. It's a biological emergency beacon.
Exactly. But like all frontier technologies, there are limitations. The current study was a proof of concept for the communication link, the mechanism for eating the antenna.
Right. So future versions need to integrate the actual molecular sensing.
Precisely. They need to connect that degradation pathway to the actual biomarker detection. They need to add genetic regulatory systems, transcription factors that make sure those metal-eating genes only turn on when the target molecule is actually present.
And then there's the elephant in the room. Putting bacteria and magnesium inside a person is not a trivial thing. What about biocompatibility? The immune response.
That is paramount. For any clinical translation, that has to be solved. They suggest that future versions will need robust surface modification coating the whole thing with protein-based materials or biopolymers.
To sort of cloak it from the immune system?
Cloak it to reduce the immune response, prevent biofouling, and just make sure the device lasts long enough to do its job.
So this deep dive really demonstrates a functional, self-powered, biotic-abiotic bridge. By using engineered E. coli, as what they call electronic sentinel cells, they've precisely controlled the corrosion rate of a passive metal antenna, and they've used that to transmit molecular information wirelessly, all without a battery or a complex chip.
Which raises an important question for all of us. What does this shift mean for personalized, proactive healthcare, where continuous molecular-level monitoring replaces episodic, reactive lab tests? Are we moving toward a future where our diagnostic tools are grown, not manufactured?
This episode was based on an open-access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Beneath the skin, where the echoes fade to gray, there's a ring of quiet mantle waiting for the day. Tiny watchers in the dark learn to move the hidden charge, painting currents through the silence where the signals once were large. Every molecule that passes leaves a footprint in the tide, and the cells we taught to listen
turn that footprint into light. We're wiring life into the wire, letting small sparks cross the line. Where the body meets the signal, where the future learns to shine. Whispers in the living antenna, bacteria singing to the waves. Every fading trace of metal marks the message that it saves. No more waiting for the symptoms, we can read the storm before. Whispers in the living antenna turn a silent pulse into a dove.
Story cells in part. Whispers in the living antenna.